So good evening, everybody. Spring is definitely in the air. I can't wait to see green leaves again. The time change makes a big difference to me, and it's coming up here in a few weeks. So that'll make a big difference. I'm looking forward to the TFT conference in April. Hope to see all you there. I've had a lot of distractions in the last few weeks since my... Okay, sorry, I got a call come in and I got cut off. I'm sorry. So I've been through a lot of distractions in the last few weeks since I did my last lesson. Oh, I was on a company trip to Mexico and coming back from there on the airplane, of course, with all these people. I catch a cold and that turned into pneumonia and had some family issues. So I can't really say that I have a great lesson this week, but what I would like to do with your permission is to sit back and take an inventory of some of the things that I have learned over the past few years. And I would like to go ahead and start off with a short prayer, if you will bow with me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the things you have taught us in your word of truth. And for many of us, it's been a different journey and different results and many challenges. Father, we pray that what we have to talk about tonight will be an inspiration to maybe not just these on the Pell Talk, but if it's being recorded, then it would be and maybe an inspiration to others in the future. And we ask you to pray for all the saints and all their needs, for those needing your touch, whether it be for health or for finances or for employment or just family needs or spiritual needs. Father, we thank you for all you've given us and keeping us in your plans and in your prayers. We pray for each other and are thankful for everything. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. For the record, today is February 18th, 2020. And I guess I would entitle this lesson, Things That I Have Learned. In about 2 days, I will turn the big number 70 in the flesh. So this will be my 40th anniversary since I walked out of the Catholic Church. Whether there are 4,000 or 40,000 different congregations, I don't know. But I remembered asking God, which one does he think is right? This year will be my 20th anniversary since I quit going to church altogether. I was confused as to how I fit in with God's overall plan and with the Jews and their kingdom. So I asked God to help me figure this out. What I've learned over the past 20 years, I did not learn by going to church for 50 years. I found fellowship with an independent Bible study group in Michigan, 3 hours drive from my house. I had 6 years with that group and began to see that Paul had two ministries. I believe that God would rather have me in his word than in any man-made church. It's breathtaking to sit back and reflect on all the truths I have learned by just studying God's word. I didn't realize that the very book I carried to church was telling me not to go there. I learned that all of the Bible is for my understanding, but not all of the Bible is written to me or about me doctrinally. I learned that there are things in the Bible that differ, that cannot be considered the same, such as the church and the kingdom of heaven. I learned about the principle of right division from 2 Timothy 2:15. That verse was the key that opened my understanding of the scriptures. I learned that God deals with different groups of people in different ways in different ages, which are called or known as dispensations. I learned that the scriptures, in the scriptures, there is past truth, there's present truth, there's future truth, and there's eternal truth. And I learned that the present truth should be the message I should acknowledge and focus on. I learned that I am to rightly divide many things in the word of truth. What is the word of truth? I believe that the word of truth goes back to the original language and meaning of words that were inspired by God before even our English translations of the Bible were written. I learned that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, but not all words in our translations are inspired words. Although it has been 2,000 years since the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Bibles in English have been available for only the past 600 years. Religious freedom has only existed for 250 years thanks to America and its founding fathers. The principle of right division and dispensational truth has only been uncovered in the past 100 years. I learned that there were originally 49 books that comprise the Bible. But man has separated them into 66 books. I cannot be thankful enough that just a few years ago I found Truth for Today and your fellowship. I have learned so much from all the teachers and fellow students of the Word. I have learned so much from my personal studies to do these Pal Talk lessons. Your fellowship is all I have that is of any value. This world has nothing else to offer. Everything I know, I learn from someone else. I am thankful for the pioneers such as Bullinger and Welch and Allen and Baker, who led the way for me and for us. I learned that the Bible is perfectly balanced and complete, but could be separated into three parts: the Old Covenant, the New Covenant, and the No Covenant, concerning the body of Christ. Certain words in our English translations are not inspired by the Holy Spirit, but were inserted to convey a concept or a doctrine from the world that is not biblical. We recently studied two of these uninspired words, church and hell. I must be careful about using the marginal notes of others as published in certain Bibles. I learned that a concordance is just a catalog of English words used in the translation of a particular version and does not in any way validate those translated words are correct. I learned that Bible translations reflect the doctrine and understanding of the translators in their time. I have come to believe that there has yet to be a Bible translated and produced under the principle of right division and dispensational truth. Most of the Bible is about God's dealing with Israel, both in the past and in the yet future. Only 8 books in the Bible apply to the present age. And by the way, Chip, if you're ready to post anything, you can relax. There's not going to be a lot to post tonight. I learned that our Gregorian calendar is 4 years off, and Jesus was born in the year 4 BC and died in our year 29 AD. I learned that Jesus was born in September on the Feast of Tabernacles and was conceived on December 25th the previous year. Jesus was born in the Tower of the Flock, Eder, which was the birthing manger for the sacrificial lambs. I learned that Herod the Great died just a few months after Jesus was born. The Magi brought and presented their gifts to the child in Nazareth when he was likely 2 to 3 months old. I learned that the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke are Gospels to Israel. John's Gospel is the Gospel of God's salvation to all nations. Jesus came to preach a kingdom of heaven gospel to the children of Israel. And I learned that the 12 apostles were apostles to the lost sheep of the house of Israel only. The epistles of James, Jude, and John and Peter, sometimes called the Catholic epistles, are directed to Israel during the Acts period, but can also apply in the yet future Revelation time. The Gentiles had no standing before God until Peter was sent to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, as Ronnie has been helping us study on Sunday mornings. Saul, who was called Paul, was chosen by the risen Lord for two special ministries. I learned that the Apostle Paul is the Apostle to the Gentiles and is the Apostle for the believers of this present age and the chosen body of Christ. The book of Acts transcends 35 years given to Israel to repent and believe after Christ was crucified. These 35 years play a part in Daniel's prophecy of 70 weeks of years. From the dedication of the temple rebuilt in Jerusalem in 405 BC to the cutting off of the Messiah 29 AD is 434 years, or 62 times 7, or 62 weeks of years. The 5 weeks of years before Israel was pronounced Lo Ami in Acts 28:28 in 64 AD makes 62 plus 5 or 67 weeks of years. I learned that the new covenant is the restoration and redemption of Israel and does not apply to me. Once Israel is restored by God, there will be yet 3 weeks of years left to be fulfilled before the return of Christ. I learned that Paul had two separate and distinct ministries, one during the book of Acts and one after the book of Acts. Paul wrote 14 epistles in the Bible, 7 during the Acts period and 7 after the book of Acts. I learned that Acts 28:28 is a major dividing line in scriptures and a major event in the unfolding purpose of God's plan for the ages. I learned that Paul had a completely separate ministry and missionary journey after he was released from the house arrest in Rome and after the end of the Acts period. And this is a true and faithful saying that can be said to any believer in Christ. Unless we understand what happened at the end of the book of Acts, we will never truly understand the Bible. We will never understand our right position with Christ, and we will never know the gospel of the body of Christ for the saved in this present age. I've come to use that many times with someone discussing the scriptures. Israel was set aside at Acts 28:28 by God, and their prophetic clock was stopped, so God could bless all the nations during the present age. We are now living in a parenthetical time between Israel in the past and Israel in the future. During the Acts period, the scriptures identify two groups of people, Abraham's seed and the elect remnant of Israel. A new gospel called the dispensation of the mystery of the body of Christ was revealed to Paul at the end of the Acts period. There is now a third company of people in God's plan for the ages. I learned that the word church is not a correct translation of the Greek form ekklesia. I learned that the body of Christ is not a church and should never be called such. The word church comes from pagan mythology of solar deities which is part of Babylonianism. I learned that Nimrod in the Tower of Babel was the original origin of all religions and all man-made worship. The body of Christ is not of this world, but religion is one of the rudiments of the world. If the truth makes you free and religion binds again, then truth and religion cannot coexist. There is no Judeo-Christian in this present age because there is no Jew recognized by God today. There were Judeo-Christians during the Acts period, and there will be Judeo-Christians in the Revelation period. All of the covenants between God and man since Abraham have been suspended. There are no covenants in effect today between God and his chosen body of Christ. I learned that after salvation, one must come unto the full acknowledgement of the truth. All truth comes from the Holy Spirit, and all truth transcends all of Paul's 14 epistles. All truth is not for everyone, only for those chosen by God before the overthrow of the world. Parables and mysteries are used to convey God's secrets to whom he wants to hear. Truth comes from the bottom up and not from the top down. God chose farmers and shepherds and fishermen and a carpenter's son to present his truth to whosoever. I learned that there was a previous world in Genesis 1:1 and a restored world in Genesis 1:2. And there will yet be a new world to come wherein dwelleth only righteousness. When you have all the truth, you have been given wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, which Proverbs says makes you the richest person on earth. So George Soros, Michael Bloomberg, all the high-tech CEOs, they have nothing. I have learned that Paul wrote Ephesians and Colossians to complete the Word of God. The Word of God is not complete until the mystery of the body of Christ was revealed and preached. Paul's 7 post-Acts epistles are not necessary and do not apply to those who proclaim a part in Israel's kingdom of heaven and return of Christ. Israel's kingdom gospel is complete without Paul's 7 post-Acts epistles. I learned that there is now in effect only one correct doctrine. All other doctrines must be reproved and corrected so that instruction in righteousness can be given so that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, as 2 Timothy 2:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. Without the correct doctrine, all good works are done in vain. Our position in Christ determines our practice. Our practice reflects our position in Christ. I learned that there are 3 companies of people, 3 spheres of blessings, 3 inheritances, and 3 different dimensional aspects which comprise 3 different callings of God's people. But universalism proclaims that all in Christ are of the same company and all end up in the same eternal place. This is in direct opposition to dispensational truth. Christians and Jews were not persecuted in Rome because they believed in Christ Jesus. They were persecuted because they would not worship the pagan gods of the Roman emperor. When the pagan Roman emperor Constantine acknowledged Christianity, he infused Christianity with paganism and mythology, which is Babylonianism. There needs to be another great awakening in Christianity. In the 18th century, there was a great awakening to grace, salvation, morality, and piety. There were those known as the new lights and those known as the old lights. There was disruption of the status quo, which created divisions among denominations. According to Ephesians 5:8 and 5:11, there are unfruitful works of darkness, and there are the children of light. Ephesians 4:14 says, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise out from among the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Ephesians 1:18 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling." Yes, there needs to be another great awakening in Christianity. If our election by God was dependent on how politicians have to get elected today, we would have no hope of such election. Thankfully, our election is by grace, through faith, as a gift of God. Now, the best part of what I've learned is found in the first three chapters of Ephesians. Somewhere between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, whether it's 6,000 years or 6 million years ago, God sat down at his desk and pulled out his quill, and he wrote out a will. And he chose me and you as adopted sons through Christ Jesus and named us in his will to receive an inheritance. I believe he did it with a smile on his face because it was according to his good pleasure. That inheritance includes all blessings that are spiritual in heavenly places. I was chosen to be considered by him holy and without spot or blame before him in love. Many in the flesh don't quite see it that way. His son, Christ Jesus, redeemed me through his blood and forgave me of all sin and sins according to the riches of his grace, not according to a covenant, so that I could be accepted in the beloved. Among all men of all times, I am his favorite. He also abounded toward me in all wisdom and knowledge and understanding, making known unto me and you of his will, as I said before, made me and you the richest people on earth. And this he did according to his good pleasure, and not according to any covenant. His will is to gather together in one all things in Christ, so that he can destroy all things that are not in Christ. Since I trusted in the sacrificial work of Christ, I was allowed to hear the word of truth, which is the special gospel of my salvation, which I also believed and was sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise as a down payment for my full inheritance unto the praise of his glory. I was given the spirit of wisdom and understanding for the acknowledging of him. The eyes of my understanding are enlightened, and I know the hope of his calling. His calling is to a membership in the body of Christ by grace through faith, which is a gift of God. I am his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works that he ordained that I should do. Having been quickened together with Christ, I am raised up and made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, where I am a permanent citizen. To this world and its rudiments, I am dead, and my life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is my life, shall appear or shall be manifest in the heavens, I will appear with him in glory. Until that time, I have on the full armor of God. My loins are girt about with truth, the truth. I have on the breastplate of righteousness. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I have in my left hand the shield of faith, and in my right hand the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Best of all, I have on the helmet of salvation. Although it seems like we are wrestling against flesh and blood, we are actually wrestling against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and wicked spirits in heavenly places. But I am to continue the work and ministry of our beloved brother Paul, which is to make whosoever see the dispensation of the mystery and make it manifest to his saints. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That was short and sweet. And that's not everything I've learned, but I could go on and on. What I struggle with is, where do I go from here? What do I do? And my heart's desire is to continue Paul's ministry. Somehow, somewhere, I'm just waiting on the Lord to show me how and where and when. I've been getting ready. I have learned many things. I have written many things. And I'm getting prepared. So, where that takes me, I don't know, but I want to be ready. And I'm not perfect. I don't have a perfect family. I don't have a perfect life. But my number one priority is to serve the Lord. And he brought me this far, and nothing's going to stop me. So I know we'll be tested. We'll be tested with fire. We'll be tested many ways. He uses people closest to us sometimes to try to put us down, to try to put stumbling blocks in our way, people we love. And so this is a struggle that many of us have, besides maybe our health or our jobs and other things that get in our way. But I am looking forward to the conference and learning some more new things. And I appreciate your time this evening, and I'm going to close now and open the mic, and we got another 30 minutes if anybody wants to chime in.